With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, mylifeinabook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice. And My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, mylifeinabook.com. Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay.
And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome. Good morning.
It's a true crime. Good morning.
Sunshine. Good morning.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. I mean, it's not Monday. Sure. It feels like a Monday, though, because we've had a load of technical difficulties and shit. It's all clusterfuck.
See a hanger over there. You see it right there.
We're having a thing, but it's all right.
You guys, once I get my podcast studio, we're all going to be good. One of those
years. You called me at 4 o'clock in the morning while you texted me.
And you were up, dude. I only texted you that early just because I needed to get it like
off your chest.
Yeah,
I was awake and I am trying to, you know, since I've been home, I'm trying to get back into my running in the morning routine. I just can't do it. I fell back asleep.
No way.
I went back to sleep.
I'm going to run. Your makeup looks real good today, by the way.
Yeah, listen. So I woke up we're supposed to record at 8. I woke up at 7:50 and remembered that we were going to record. And I'm like, is it 8 my time? I tried to pull that shit. Tab's like, I need an extra 10 minutes. I'm like, thank God.
Oh, yeah.
So I did all this in 10 minutes or less.
You did good.
Listen, it's really the Thrive. Good. I have such a simple little routine now with all the Thrive makeup.
Yeah, well, I am super impressed. You like my eyebrows? I just got them waxed, and then I used the Thrive, the color stuff on the eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, they look good, right? Yeah. I'm on a kick. You know what else I did today? I, shaved my face with those, like, Tinkle razors, so I am, like, glowing.
Oh, you're
along
on
with
fire.
My cryofacial.
No, you know, I'm falling apart because I'm still peeling from the sunburn.
Oh God!
That I got in the snow.
Yeah,
and I haven't got anything waxed because I'm still hostage because I have had a flat tire and my husband won't fix it because he has to work and provide for the family. I mean, what an asshole!
So I have one of those husband doesn't fix things. Also, so remember, I got the tile redone in our master bathroom. Mm-hmm. It was like, he's like, no big deal, which I'm so appreciative, right? That we have this new tile. But he's like, it's going to take 3 days. It's a real quick thing, except for they remove your toilet. Remember, I had the black toilet. So I'm like very happy to get a white toilet.
I think you were on the phone with me when the toilet guy came to install the toilet. Remember that?
Yes. Yes.
Could not install the toilet. The toilet is too futuristic for
She's got a Toto. It's serious business.
Well, now I'm not getting a Toto, by the way. It's
You're not?
Going No, because it's too much.
If you don't know what a Toto toilet is, when you approach Tab's toilet, it flips up and says hello.
It does.
Shit on
and
me.
And it
Pee,
heats your
whatever
ass
you flavor.
When you sit down. Like, it is the best toilet. It is crazy expensive. So this thing was going to go with us for life this time. Mm-hmm. I was real spoiled in the last house. It just came with it. And so my husband, for like 3 presents, got me this Toto toilet, which sounds so fucking weird that somebody would give you a toilet, but for a present, but whatever.
Yeah.
After I complain about the black toilet enough, he's like, fine, shit on this.
Yeah.
And now we're going to just regular, which is fine. I'm like, now I don't have a toilet in my bathroom for weeks now. So.
Oh,
this is the problem.
Killer. You don't have your own pate.
I don't have it. And every
you
time
share
I walk
one with
in,
the kids. Oh.
Oh, I know.
You have little boys.
Dudes, trust me.
The
so
worst.
Anywho, it's not that I don't mind sharing. It's that I forget. So every time I'm running to the bathroom because I'm trying to like drink a lot of water these days, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh shit, I don't have a fucking toilet. So I have to turn around and like whatever. But anywho, so yes, I keep texting my husband like, hey. Today, I was like, listen, I can smell sewage coming out of the hole in the ground.
Yeah.
I have to get a toilet.
You know what else stinks? Is
what?
Speaking of toilets, is so I have a little boy, so I have the toilet issue. I try to avoid sharing a bathroom with him at all time. Thankfully, his sisters kind of keep him in check. But I had a chat with him a while ago about, hey, buddy, this is a problem. You need to like pee in the toilet, not around it. And you know what he said to me?
What?
He looked at me like so disappointed and was like, all of it?
Oh, my God. Like, he like 100%.
Like, yes, on purpose. My husband came home and I'm like, frederated. What have you been teaching our son? I've been like using every precious Clorox wipe in that bathroom forever.
You totally thought that it was like an accident.
I was like, this was your job. He's doing it on purpose. The horror.
That's funny.
Get on it.
Okay, so has he got
and teach our kid to pee and take out the trash. That's
your job. Has he gotten better since you've had the talk?
Hallelujah. Yes, he has gotten better.
Okay, that's a good story to end our life lessons on. The lessons of the Macaulay Culkin
potty.
Okay, so let's get to the crime itself. This week, Gretchen, our case was another listener suggestion and an interesting one. If you guys listen to our Patreon, I think you'll know this case like got to me a little bit. So thank you, Christina Preston.
Thanks, Christina.
This. She says, she says it was right up our alley, which is probably true.
Hope it's saucy.
Research. Well,
okay.
It's twisty.
Okay.
It's something.
Okay.
I'll say that. So thank you for that suggestion. We're going to start in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Are you familiar?
I have been to Wisconsin, actually. But I have not been to Eau Claire. Yes, I have. Pabst beer, cheese, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin.
Sounds fun, except for it sounds real cold in the winter.
Lake Michigan, beautiful. I was named after a Gretchen, who lives in Wisconsin, and I went to visit her when I was young.
Well, there you go. Well, Eau Claire.
Shout out to all the Gretchens in Wisconsin.
Yeah, shout out. It sounds like actually there would probably be a few Gretchens up there because that's like up in those areas. A lot of people from, I think, the like Swiss and Norwegian and probably German people migrated, if you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. And I think we probably sound a little stupid and we are aware. Well, I shouldn't say we sound stupid. I think there's a smarter way to say that.
The Northern Europeans. I don't know. Yes, there is probably 100% a very smart way to say that.
But
which is
kind of ironic
because the irony of the whole thing is that this case revolves around three individuals, one of them who had a very, very intricate way of speaking and used very large words very appropriately. Another one of the people liked to use big words like I like to use, and then she used them inappropriate or at the wrong time, which I find myself doing all the time. The other one was really into philosophy and read a lot, and so he probably used a lot of big words too.
I dated a philosophy major one time. It was exhausting.
I think it's really exhausting. I think it can.
They're
really
always
get
thinking.
To you sometimes
it's annoying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Deep, really deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I did. You see, people from Germany.
Yeah.
Norwegian people go up to the colder temperatures. I'm just saying because.
Okay. Yeah. I'm with you. Simpatico. We got this.
My relatives are from there. Okay. I'm not
right.
named Gretchen.
Yeah, probably. But... mine are too. I don't know. 23andMe. Mm-hmm. Sponsor us.
Yeah, right. You do everybody else. But okay, so let's go back to Eau Claire really quick, mm-hmm. or for the whole entire episode. It's 70,000 population of 70,000, and
okay.
it's known for music and arts. I find it probably a little hipster, if you would say.
Yeah.
The University of Wisconsin Eau Claire is there. And so there's a lot
okay.
of college kids.
Cool little college town. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right. You could feel it. Coffee yeah. shops, fun events, bars,
totally.
Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Seems like an appealing place to live to me, except for the winters. No bueno. Snow on the ground.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
So this young little 18-year-old girl thought it was a great place to move. She was artistic, a little eccentric, free-loving. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Ezra McCandless. She drove a car that she painted on herself. So I want to kind of give you a little picture of who she seemed to be. Okay. When I say eccentric, I don't mean she had blue hair and crazy, makeup. She just liked to express herself in ways that people could see, mostly art. And so she's driving this big white car with this big black bird on the top of it. And on the hood of the car, she's got this skeleton cowboy smoking a cigarette,
Okay. She's artsy.
She's artsy. I think it's an interesting choice for sure to be driving around a car like that, but she definitely was into art.
I think I'm liking it.
Yeah. I mean, you're 18. I think, sure, you want to explore something different. Like, you're not the norm, right? You're not driving around like a blue sedan. I think you're bringing a little bit of attention to yourself, I would say, having a car like that. I mean, there was a car that drove around the valley that was all painted crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's millions of people in Los Angeles, right? But I saw this car all the time because it was so standout-ish. So
yeah.
I'm just saying, I think the girl kind of wanted to stand out, even though probably in her appearance itself, she didn't make that known. But
a lot of those artsy types do want to stand out a lot, and they are, and make their opinions known.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So there was something that was troubling about Ezra. And mm-hmm. the more research I did, I noticed it, but I don't really know why. I don't know what triggered her at a young age, but there was something. She was born to a mother that was 14. So
that's a real
young mom.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's been two reports, one Monica K and one Monica J, either J-A-Y or K-A-Y. That was her name. that she was born to. She was later adopted by her mother's husband, which was her stepdad. And she didn't take his name either. What she did do was change her name to Ezra McCandless before she was 18. So she decided to go by the last name McCandless because, remember, there was a character or a real life person named Christopher McCandless who was an adventurer from that book and the movie Into the Wild. Did you ever see that?
Yes.
Or read it?
Yes.
And she kind of identified with him a little bit.
A lot of people do.
Or maybe a lot of people want to.
Well, they had to move that bus. The bus from the movie.
Oh, yeah. People were going like.
People were trying to make that trek.
It, right?
Yeah, and dying, which is like kind of the whole point of the movie. So it was a real, it was less than
stupid
smart
thing.
Yeah. So they moved it, which is good to save people from trying to make that trek. Also, the soundtrack to that movie with Eddie Vedder.
Oh, it's
Swoon.
So.
Oh my God, it's so
good.
Good.
It's so good. So if you haven't seen the movie, it's really heartbreaking. It's good. It's about, except my husband thinks it's not good. He's like, he doesn't get it. He's like, what the fuck did this guy do that for? But it's a guy who wants to live free. He decides to go to Alaska, which I think is a real bad idea because it's really fucking cold in Alaska. And
that's the difference between your husband and my husband. My husband has like a total man crush on all the Alaska, the Last Frontier guys, Gold Rush. He's always like, sign me up. And I'm always like pulling him back to reality. Like, you married the wrong woman. I'm not gonna homestead with you. Unless Amazon delivers, I'm not going.
There's a lot of things you can do for short term to get that fixed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a real bad idea. I'm sure Ezra admired his free spirit and his journal writing and his artisticness because she also wrote in a journal. She was very artistic. And although I wouldn't say she was like, you know, into the wild, she probably liked nature. So.
Okay.
She thought that that last name really fit her. So she took that last name and she took Ezra as a first name as she was looking for something more androgynous of a name, which is.
I knew there was something up with that name.
Which is actually kind of funny because my old hair girl was pregnant and she was like, oh, I hope I have a boy because I want to name him Ezra. And I told her at the time, I was like, that could be either. Like, I would name my girl Ezra or a boy Ezra. Just like if Caden was born a girl, I would have named him Caden, her Caden.
Yeah.
You know?
Ezra like, is a really pretty name, but it lends itself to someone who wears tie-dye, has incense going, listens to New Age music, comes out at coffee shops.
I think she picked a great name for herself.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So Ezra actually in high school for a short time did identify as a boy. She changed her pronouns a bit in high school and kind of was deciding which she wanted to be. Okay. So I think it is a hard time sometimes in high school to figure out who you are or what you are or what's going on. And I think she had a lot of that going on. By this point in 2018, Ezra was identifying as a female. She had longer hair and wore more feminine clothing.
Okay. More power to you.
Yeah. I think whatever.
Whatever.
You know, whatever floats your boat.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. People say that Ezra liked attention. So I can see that, like I said, with the car situation. So she moves herself to Eau Claire and she likes to spend a lot of time at this coffee shop, Gretchy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you know? The coffee shop is called Racy's. And this is where she meets this real handsome older guy named Jason Mingle. Jason is 34 years old. So he's quite a bit older than her, would you say? I mean, she's 18. Maybe at this point, he's
34.
33. 2017 yeah. they met.
Yeah.
So I think the age gap is pretty big. Jason says he didn't know that they were that big of a difference in age, that she kind of hid that from him. And she seemed like she was in her older 20s. I will tell you, by pictures, she looks real young.
When I was 18, I had a boyfriend who was like 24.
Mm-hmm.
And when people, I looked a little bit older than 18, but when people found out, his friends found out how old I was, I remember them being like kind of horrified. Like there there was something about, I mean, when you're not old enough to get into the bars, like, and you're 30 something, you know?
Yeah.
It's a bigger difference than when you're like 30 and they're 45. That's no big deal. But it's that 18, you know, before you're 25, the age gap should be like within 5 years.
I think so too.
Although I never followed that ever. Until I got married.
I just think a 34-year-old has had a lot more life experience than an 18-year-old. And this is why they're hanging out at the coffee shop. Because
they can't go to the bars.
They can't go to the bars. Mm-hmm. I mean, we remember Two West in Ventura. I mean, I hang out there all the time.
All the time.
So Jason's at like coffee loving, rides his bike everywhere type of dude.
Because he can't afford a car.
I don't know. He's a
scrub.
I couldn't really, like, I don't know. It's possible.
Okay.
He was in the National Guard as a medic, but.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I know.
And I mean that sincerely. That, now I feel bad for calling him a scrub a second ago.
No, I don't think he was a scrub. He's very well spoken. He's the guy that I was speaking about earlier that likes to use those really long words because he's a pretty smart guy.
Okay.
Or at least he comes off as very smart. Every interview, which there's a lot of them that you guys can look up, he tells a good story and he does use these crazy words. Like when he's talking to the police, it's like, dude, just like, I don't know. I'm like, do we really need to use words that most people in the United States or anywhere else probably in the world have to look up on the dictionary to see what it really means?
You find it a little sus, like it's like maybe like some kind of crutch. It's like a personality thing for him that makes him feel like a bigger person.
I do.
I would get that impression if I was around someone who was overly articulate.
Yes, that's a good word. Thank you for that big word, Gretchy. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Points.
I am really making myself sound like a total dumbass in this episode. So sorry. I'm really not.
No, you're
college
not.
Educated.
God. And I will tell you, people, if you're feeling slow, it's only because I've had one more cup of coffee than you.
I haven't even had one yet.
If we hadn't had the technical difficulties and she could move without destroying everything, then she would be firing on all cylinders like this.
By the way, my feet are falling asleep. I feel like I'm like crouched in one little tiny area and I'm hoping this shit doesn't fall down behind me or you're going to see like a plethora of clothes.
So no worries.
Anyways, Jason, back to Jason at the coffee shop. Mm-hmm. Really liked Ezra. Little hot little thing coming in with her art and her writing and her pictures she draws. Really won him over.
Yeah.
And they got serious pretty quickly. So serious that she started staying at his house on the regular and then moved in with him within like 6 months or so.
Okay.
I feel like Jason also, you know, he's in the military, but then he's seeking this free-spirited crazy girl.
Yeah.
I feel like he's kind of torn also as a person, right?
Yeah. Those two personalities don't usually go together.
No, but maybe they do. Because sometimes people that are one way seek somebody that's the other way so that they can have a little fun in their life or be a little different than they probably normally would.
Yeah.
So Jason and Ezra spend a lot of time at Racy's coffee shop. I checked out the place. It's real cute. It's got couches that are not matched. Some of them are like floral.
So you know it's good. Yeah.
Some of them look like they came from your grandma's house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A little hangout spot. I kind of love those places. You know, it's not like so sterile.
Yeah. All I can think though is doesn't sound very COVID friendly. Like if it's a bunch of fabric sofas, you know, those are a lot of high touch areas.
Oh my God. You already have PTSD, by the way.
I guess I do. This. I'm like,
the first thing you think of.
I'm like, used to like those kind of places. Not anymore.
Oh my God. You are so funny. You've got to get out, girl.
I'm coming to Texas.
I know. And then you're going to be like, I need to find a coffee shop with a fabric couch.
I'm going to touch it so hard.
So there was a barista. Do you call it barista if it's a male or female? Is that like the name?
I don't barista? Think you say barista.
Barista.
I think it's a barista. Yeah, either way.
Okay. So there was a barista there that worked at Racy's. And this is the guy that was saying the philosopher. His name was Alex Woodworth. He was 23 years old, real into philosophy. He actually had a degree in it and was going on to get a master's and PhD to be a professor in philosophy. So,
I mean, because that's the only thing you can do with a degree in philosophy.
I know.
Oh my God. And those I told you I dated a philosophy guy.
I know.
Oh, all they can do is talk about shit. He had a lotus flower on his back, tattooed. He thought very deep.
Who was this? Do I know him?
Yes.
I do. You got to tell me after. Do I not remember this?
The guy that lived with Clint.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Makes perfect sense now. Mm-hmm. Also, I could see working at Racy's.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Alex love deep conversations. He also journaled a lot.
Yeah, so did
a lot, a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. And I read some of his journals and they are, I mean, deep. Some of them are about, there's one that they brought up about cannibalism.
Ooh.
Which was really interesting because when you read it, it wasn't really about eating people or that he wanted to eat people. It was more of like a philosophical idea about how people could eat people, or the way to think about it is that we all are just animals with flesh that can be eaten.
Dude, this guy gave me a book that was called How to Teach a Stone to Talk. And was like, he was like, everything you need to know about life is in this book.
Did you read it?
Well, I skimmed it. Mm-hmm. but same kind of thing. Everything's on another level.
100%. You know?
And I'm like,
it's extra.
It was a little extra for me. Thank God he broke up with me. Because I couldn't have played that part. I couldn't have given a shit forever.
Not forever. No.
He did me
once
a favor.
It was in your 20s. But these three, Alex, Ezra, and Jason, were friends. And there were other people in the coffee shop that all hung out. It seems like one of those places that people go and express themselves and they all come together and they're like, oh, that was so amazing. That writing you did last night and that poem you told at that art show, or, you know, the type.
Yeah, I know the type.
Jason and Ezra were living together. And as Dr. Laura would say, they were shacking up, and she was the
shack up
honey. Yep. And you know what happens to those shack up honeys sometimes?
Yeah, I know. I've been one.
Well,
I think we both have. So no judgment against the shack up honey.
No judgment.
Yeah,
listen.
Yeah. We've both been down that road. They get the boot.
Well, she didn't get the boot. She got the babies in the belly.
Oh, that happens too. Yeah.
So she finds out she's pregnant, and she's pregnant with twins. And I
can't. Young mama with twins. That's so hard.
Even imagine. But
yeah.
according to Jason, she didn't want the kids. She was too young, and so she wanted the abortion. According to Ezra, Jason wanted her to have the abortion. Whatever way it was, I don't know, but she ended up having the abortion on her 19th birthday. I can't even fucking imagine.
Yeah, that's rough. Okay. Yeah.
What kind of psych games that plays with you? I don't also know why you would choose to have it on that day.
On your birthday?
Not the right choice of days. Unless that's, I guess, I mean, it, I don't know why.
Well, you know, sometimes, I mean, I have accompanied friends to Planned Parenthood a time or two, and sometimes they only do it like once a week.
I know.
So maybe that's just how the cookie crumbled.
I'm thinking that maybe. After this abortion, I think that Jason and Ezra's relationship became a real mess. Like, the intimacy was lost. And according to Jason, he started sleeping on the couch or in a different room, but not with her. Mind you, this is only like 6 months into their relationship. So we're not talking about years. This is pretty quick.
I know, but those young relationships are like very intense.
They're fast. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Also at this time, Ezra and Alex's relationship started getting real close. I think that Ezra started talking a lot to Alex about deeper things and they started hanging out a lot. Jason explains it as Ezra was going through something at the time and Alex was kind of comforting her. I'm pretty sure the thing that she was going through was having an abortion.
Yeah.
So they get pretty close and then you know what happens there. Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am. Alex and Ezra start doing it.
Bam.
So Jason seems to know that this is going on.
Really? Okay.
He does. He doesn't even kick her out of the house, even though he knows that she's sleeping with another guy.
Was it a money thing, maybe?
No, I don't think so. Doesn't seem like it by Jason's account. It seems to me Jason comes off as this a guy that just understands everybody. He says, I am a medic, so he has this compassion for people and helping people. And maybe not just, you know, their boo-boos, but on the inside too. I almost think that's what drew him to Ezra. Like maybe she was a little needy for some psychological healing. And he thought that with his big words, he could help her.
Yeah. I feel like the fundamental difference between, I mean, I feel bad, like kind of throwing us under the bus, like during all these big word philosophy conversations, saying that we just hang out in the shallow pond. So we don't get it because I think we do get it, but we're just like, we're black and white, like don't hurt people. You know, like it's as simple as that. Like we don't need to make it into like all this next level things with like pictures of galaxies behind us over lattes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Listen, I actually was into that at one time.
Yeah. You know? I think and then you grow up and you're like, maybe it's just as simple as don't be a dick.
Yes.
You don't need to teach stones to talk, fucking cannibal. Like, just don't be a dick.
This is true. Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So Jason and Ezra are sleeping in different rooms. Ezra's sleeping with Alex at this point.
Okay.
And Jason goes out of town for one of his military duties. Because I think in the reserves, you just do like once a month.
One weekend a month is, I think, pretty typical. Yeah.
Right? So I don't know what he did other than that for work, because that doesn't seem to like really pay the bills. So he goes on his, you know, monthly duty and Ezra's partying with the roommate and whooping it up. And she got real wasted. And according to Ezra, and I listened to her police recording, the friend took advantage of her while she was drunk. She says that she was blacked out. I'm pretty sure when you're blacked out, you don't remember shit. But she seems to remember being scared and him taking advantage of her. So they actually, she tells Jason when he gets home, and he is like fired up. He's like, we're going to the police. This is crazy. You've been raped, you know? And so they go to the police. The police do some investigation. Yeah.
That's a slippery slope there, right? Because, I mean, we should just make it like real clear that it's not about, I mean, she could have been wasted. I mean, what we know is it is rape. If you don't, you don't have to say no, but if you don't say yes is the thing. So maybe that is what is going on in her head. Maybe she was in and out, you know, so wasted. She didn't really have control of herself, but she wasn't saying yes.
So it's possible.
So that, yeah. So yeah, that, that is a crime to me.
Yes, it is a crime if that is what happened.
If that's what happened. But if that's what happened. Okay.
Gretch, you know how last week you were telling me you got this product from Apostrophe?
Oh, yeah.
To help your 40-ish acne.
Yeah. Fun thing about turning 40, start breaking out again. It's no fair.
It's no fair. I mean, we already went through that at 12.
That's right.
I actually can see my daughter starting to break out also. And this website came to us in seriously just the right time. It's called Apostrophe. They do prescription acne treatments that really work. And you don't have to see a doctor, but you do see a doctor because you see their doctor. But you don't have to take time off work. You take an online questionnaire about your skin concerns or your children's skin concerns. Snap a few selfies, and the dermatologist there get back to you with a customized, tailored treatment, which, Gretchen,
I did
is loving.
I did it, you guys. I did it. And thank God for Apostrophe, because I would not have done it. I would have just lived with it. Because,
yeah,
self-care is so hard to make time for. But this was so easy. And I can't, it's like I have a new face. I have a new face.
They offer topical and oral medication to treat acne from the inside out or the outside in. So, you guys, you get $15 off your first visit with a board-certified dermatologist at apostrophe.com/clink clink. Use our code clink clink. This code is only available for our listeners. So to get started, go to apostrophe.com/clink clink for $15 off.
Check it out.
Okay, what'd you have for breakfast this morning, Gretchen?
Magic spoon is where it's at, y'all.
I seriously could not be more excited that the blueberry flavor is back in stock after it sold out.
I'm obviously so excited for you because you've been obsessing over it.
I have. I've been so sad that it hasn't been there. And so it's back. And you guys, I could not wait to tell you it is the best. If you have not tried Magic Spoon, it really is awesome. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Guys, good for you, good for your kids.
And it tastes delicious. No joke.
It does.
Yeah.
So you guys, go now and get your blueberry flavor. Or if you're not into blueberry, which you should be, because it's, you know, it's good.
No, the cinnamon is my favorite.
Okay, okay, fine. They also have cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. You can build your own box. They got it all. Also, if you live in Canada, they ship there now too.
Oh, how about that?
How about that? I know you were going to say a hot damn. Anyways, go to magicspoon.com/clink clink to grab your blueberry or custom thing. Our promo code, again, is clink clink at checkout, and you save $5 off your order. Go to magicspoon.com/clink clink and use clink clink at checkout to save $5. Gretch, you know, now that the weather is warm, thank heavens, and I'm getting a lot of more vitamin D, I'm changing things up over here. And my goals have changed. So I redid my Care Of online quiz, and I'm back into action, girlfriend.
All right. That's right.
Yes, you guys, Care Of is an amazing vitamin and supplement service. You go online, do their questionnaire, and you get individual vitamin packs, which, tell them, Gretch.
It's easy enough for me to do it, y'all, so anybody can do it.
Studies
That's
show
the truth.
Also, it's the truth, really. And studies show that it takes 30 days for you to see benefits of a new supplement or routine. So consistency is key. And really, they make it super easy to do.
Yeah. And I feel better. It makes so much sense.
Totally.
Take your vitamins. Be healthy. Take care of yourself.
To get your vitamins, you need to go to takecareof.com and enter code CLINK50 to get 50% off your first Care Of order. You guys, 50% off. You got to do it. Go to takecareof.com and enter code CLINK50.
You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language, so I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now, they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is, it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences, and then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Nobody's trying to have that. Enter Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Genius! You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine, y'all. When I received my first shipment of Blue Land, I was blown away by how this simple concept just makes so much sense. It's so easy. You just drop the tablet into the stylish functional bottles and get your clean on. I love the subscription option because I am not trying to get one more bulky item in my cart. Blue Land products really get the job done and leave my home smelling so fresh and clean. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this, guys. blueland.com/clink for 15% off.
After the investigation, they see texts from Ezra to this friend that basically suggested that she wanted something a little bit more.
Okay.
And they also interviewed Alex, and he told the police that she confess to him that she made a real big mistake sleeping with this guy and regretted doing it, but knew she was doing it.
Yeah.
When you listen to her talk about it, it does make you feel like she was in the right and the guy was in the wrong. But then when you see the other side, then you're like, well,
it sounds
maybe
consensual.
She's just being dramatic and yeah. She doesn't want to tell Jason that she actually slept with his roommate or friend on her own account. You know, she's yeah. just feeling guilty because now she's sleeping with three people. I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you this. In her journals also, she writes about multiple times that she was sexually assaulted. And most people think that she's making up these stories. I can't say that she is, but it is a constant thing with her. Like it's not just a one-time thing.
Yeah,
it's
like, that is like kind of infuriating to me because of course, I mean, you know, we all want to take the side of the victim, but when extra dramatics are involved, it is like you are taking away from all the people that are trying to tell their truth.
There was one celebrity I was listening to recently that had spoke about her time with that one. What was that one producer, that real ugly guy?
Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein. And she's like, I came forward. And her story was that he asked her to meet him again in Paris or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing more to it. I was like, girlfriend, you can't jump on the bandwagon if nothing happened.
Yeah.
Just to be on the bandwagon. Like, yeah. I agree. The guy was a total fucking douche.
No question about it.
Did a lot of harm to a lot of women. But yeah. If you were not that woman, then you don't have a place.
Yeah. Sexual abuse. You don't have a place. You're right.
Yeah. So anyways, the police dropped the charges on the friend. They did not find her credible. And after this, I would say Ezra's life was pretty much spiraling. Her relationship with Alex, not everybody knew about, but Jason definitely knew about it. And during the testimony, I will say, Jason is like, I told you before, he's so understanding about it. Like, I guess at one point, Alex gets so distraught over Ezra's feeling like she wants to be with Jason, but she wants to be with Alex. And Alex is like, I need to be with you, Ezra. If you're not with me, I'm going to commit suicide. He cuts his wrists and calls Ezra.
Oh,
and
Lord.
Jason goes over there to help him and bandage him up. Okay? So this is like a twisty little triangle thing going on.
I think these people sound dramatic.
Oh my God, it's like so dramatic. Let me tell you something that's even more dramatic about this is that from what I can gather is Alex was toying with being gay. And he used Ezra's like masculine side to his yeah. advantage. Because she had come out to him that she identified as a boy at one point, and he found that real interesting. And from what Ezra says, that's how their relationship was, that she was his boy, and they okay. had sex like that, which led into some sort of BDSM kink sex.
Okay.
This is all coming from Ezra.
Okay.
So she's now living a hetero lifestyle with Jason. She's having a secret love affair, more on some sort of
other level,
gay, trans side on another level. I think the stress of that has got to be unbearable for a person that just turned 19 years old.
Hello. Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So she decides that she's going to escape it all and just go back home. So she moves off. She moves out of Jason's house. She breaks up with both of them. And she's like, I gotta fucking chill. However, yeah. She's still texting Jason like, you know, I mean, you yeah, can text, you could call. Like, we've been there also. Yeah. So on March 21st, 2018, she sends over 600 messages with Jason, texting him back and forth. 600. Doesn't that sound like a lot?
Yeah.
And she's not in the town anymore. She's back living with her dad, or her adopted dad, you know?
Yeah.
So the next morning, she shows up at Racy's coffee shop to return items that she had from Jason and Alex. If you know what that means. I mean, we've also all been there, right? You're like, oh, I have your sweatshirt I wore home that day.
I'm totally guilty of doing that. Yeah.
She says she has to return Alex's heating pad and a bookmark.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, I'm sure Alex is really needing those back quickly. So she sees Jason first at Racy's. And then what she says is she goes over to another friend's house to exchange some artwork. And then she heads to Alex's house to return the heating pad and bookmark that he had given her. At Alex's house, Jason shows up. Jason is just kind of, he rides his bike over there and he is just hanging out outside, not doing much. And somebody sees him and is like, what the fuck is this guy just like trolling back and forth, right? So yeah. They call the police and the police show up and they are like, hey, dude, what's going on?
Yeah.
We heard there's some sort of domestic disturbance over here. He's like, oh, I came over here to check things out because I just have this really weird feeling. I'm a medic in the army and sometimes I just get these intuitions that something bad is going to happen and I don't know what's going to happen with Alex because, you know, he's worried because Alex has like cut his wrist before, right? Honestly, I think Jason knows something a little bit more than he's telling.
Because well, it sounds like he kind of thrives on the drama. I mean, we've like...
Right. Okay. So he goes over there. He checks on them. They're fine. I guess okay. Alex and Ezra are talking a little loud, maybe arguing a little bit, but not even the police think is weird. They okay. go, they talk to Ezra. They talk to Alex. They get their IDs. They are like, everything's fine. You hear this all on the police cam. Like, you know, that you can hear them talking. They're like, yeah, we're fine. We're fine. Okay. What Jason says is he sees fire in Ezra's eyes. So that's how he knew to go over there. I don't know.
Like, see, that's too deep. Kind of... That's too deep for me. What is fire in the eyes?
What does that mean? Right?
Did she get new contacts? What does that mean?
I'm like,
this is where we're shallow. I've never seen fire in someone's eyes. Were they stoned? Were they red? I've seen that.
I have seen those contacts that like real weird. But yeah.
Just say what you mean. Stop being so deep.
Yes. And when I heard her on the cop cam, she seems real calm to me. Yeah. I mean, they're like, she's like, I can't find my ID. But he's like, oh, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, the next time that we see Ezra is around 4:30 that night or that afternoon. When she turns up at this remote dairy farmer's house covered in blood, mud, and cut up.
Oh.
This poor dairy farmer is 90 years old, named Don Simple, and he opens the door and he sees Ezra and he's like, you need help. And she is like crying and he calls 911. And I'll play a little bit of the audio here for you.
I'm calling 911. What's the address of the emergency?
This is Don Simple calling, and I have a young lady that just came to my house, and somebody attacked her, and she needs a doctor. Her clothes are all torn. And
okay, and can you ask her what her name is?
Just hold on a second.
Okay.
What's your name, ma'am? What? You don't know? She's in kind of bad shape. She just says she don't know.
Okay, let me put you on hold. Do not hang up. I'm going to start some help, okay?
Sure.
So you can see she seems super shaken up. She cannot say her name. You know, he asks her, what's your name? She says, I don't know. But then he asks her how old she is. She does know that.
Well, maybe she can't remember if it's Ezra or whatever the fuck it was before she changed it.
Funny you say that, because
What name do I give people in authority?
At the hospital, she does say a different name.
Yeah.
She says Monica, I think Conard or Conrad. It's not even Monica K or Monica J. It's like some other Monica. She's seeming to have amnesia at this point. She doesn't know where she is. She doesn't know how she got there. She doesn't know how far she's traveled. They ask her all these questions. She has no fucking clue. She is just overwhelmed with cries. She's got cuts kind of all over. Her clothes are kind of ripped up and cut. She's got dried blood around her mouth, and she's barefoot. And mind you, this is March 21st. There is still snow on the ground. It is cold as F.
Cold.
Right? So I'm sure her feet were probably really hurting.
Yeah.
They ask her, have she walked a mile, 2 miles? Does she know? She has no idea. Okay. They take her to get checked out. They ask her, like, do you have anybody that we could call? You don't have an ID. You have no phone. We don't know who you are. Like, and who did this to you? They say, yeah. Do you know who did this to you? She says, no. You know, they try to ask Don. Don has no information. He is like, what the fuck just happened to me? I was sitting down for dinner and now I'm having to deal with this lady. He seems, by the way, like the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still around, but it's only been a couple years, so I hope so. But he really is just, I think he would want him to be your dairy farmer grandpa.
Yeah.
So they take her to the hospital. And after they get her to the hospital and cleaned up, they go and question her. And her memory starts to come back. They then ask her name and she says she's Monica, whatever. And then they figure out that that's not who she is, that she really is Ezra McCandless, because she has changed her name. They also know that because they had just seen her the day before on that domestic violence.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, they just showed up.
Yeah.
And so they know she was also with Alex Woodworth. And where is Alex? Well, Alex, they can't find. And so she's asking for Jason, even right when she got to the hospital. So she remembered Jason's name, but she did not remember his phone number. She did not remember her name, but she did remember Jason's name. And they can't find Alex.
That's kind of a fear because we have everybody's number in their phones.
I know.
So we don't, literally, like, the only two phone numbers that I know are yours and my husband. And it's just because I had to force myself to memorize my husband's.
Yeah. I only know a
couple
numbers
also. In case of an emergency. But I know yours because we've had the same number since forever.
Yeah. Since I was 18. Yeah.
So. I don't know any of our other friends' numbers.
I don't either. I don't either. They now know that she was with Alex and she says, like, Alex attacked me and she ran for her life is basically kind of what they got out of her. She does start opening up a lot about a lot of things. They ask her, like, how it happened, what happened. She has this carving on her arm of the word boy. Okay. Like in like B, can you see my arm?
Yeah.
It's like B-O-Y. And
some sadistic shit. Any of that branding, carving, what? I'm not with it.
I know. And she says that it was from Alex. So they are on the hunt for Alex. They are assuming he is armed and dangerous, and they start to retrace Ezra's steps backwards from Dawn's house, and they find some money tracks that lead down to this field where Ezra's car is stuck in the mud. And hanging out of the back side, driver's side, is Alex Woodworth, and he's dead.
Oh, shit.
Alex had been stabbed 16 times in a very brutal fashion. He was stabbed into his brain. Wow. He stabbed in his face. He stabbed in his groin. Oh. Kind of mutilated in his groin. Whoa. So, yeah, this case just got real dark.
Ouch. So who was it? Ezra?
It was Ezra. Yeah.
Damn it, Ezra.
So they go to her again and they're like, woman. Now what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. Those are starting to look like defensive wounds on you. Boo. What happened?
But one thing they did see is they're like, you know, that carving on your arm, can you talk more about that to us?
Yeah.
How did that happen to you?
Yeah.
She says, we were driving. Alex was driving the car and he gets the knife in my, I have a knife. She actually couldn't remember. She was like, oh, I have a tiger claw. I carry some like defense weapons in my car in case I get attacked. So one of them was like that tiger lady, you know, those like,
they're like
brass knuckles.
Yeah.
And then they come out and you can like, you know, I think it's kind of smart to have actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she can't remember that, or if it's a hunting knife that her dad had always given her for self-defense, or she says they're hunters. So she can't remember what he starts carving that boy into her arm with, but he's driving. She's in the passenger seat. And the police officer is like, Ezra, this doesn't make sense because it would be real awkward for him to grab your arm. Mind you, he's driving.
Yeah.
Grabbing your arm and writing boy, he would write it the other way. It would have been like,
oh, yeah.
The B wouldn't be up here. Well, you know what it,
yeah.
Like, it would be the other way.
Well, excellent police work. I'm thinking that's impossible to do while driving, even if it was
anyways,
the right way.
And,
but good.
And point. It's pretty perfect penmanship.
Yeah.
And what, you're just going to sit there and be like, here you go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. How would you restrain someone so you could do that while driving and riding? Doesn't work out. Yeah.
So anyhow, she starts to admit some things, and that she ended up admitting that it was herself that had carved boy into her arm. She talks about basically going out to the middle of nowhere to have a talk. And in this talk, she wants to just get everything off of her mind with what has happened with Alex. And they get stuck in the mud. She's like, I can get us out of the mud, tries to find something to put under the tire, ends up not getting unstuck. And Alex starts attacking her. She doesn't want to have sex with him. He starts like taking the knife to her, cutting her stuff up. And she grabs the knife and stabs him to death.
Whoa.
Actually, she passes out. She talks a lot about how she has anxiety. And so then she says she like blacks out. She wakes up, carves the word boy into her as she's flipping the fuck out because she just killed somebody because she never wants to forget, which also just does not make any sense. And then finds her way to Dawn's house. I don't know what happened, but I will tell you that the police don't believe her.
I'll tell you what happened. It's dangerous fancying yourself that deep. You got to come up with all these reasons, and it's like the universe and blah, 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 next level. Ezra, you should have just moved home and stayed home. If the relationship is this complicated to carry on, then it's too much. Start a new one. You're young.
I know. So they think all of her wounds actually were self-inflicted.
Totally.
Starting with that boy. Then she cut up her pants. She, you know, there's some cuts on her hands, but they were like, if she grabbed the knife away from him, like she said, she would have a deeper cut into her hand. And so Alex just turned into the victim, and Ezra was booked into jail as a murderer.
Yeah, so maybe she wasn't completely out of her mind. I mean, maybe she had the wherewithal to make it look like she was attacked.
I know.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that that's probably what happened. I mean, most people think that that is what happened. And at the trial, Ezra got all of her memory back, by the way. I mean, she remembers every detail.
Imagine that.
The trial was aired on Court TV. So if you want like extra, extra, check it out. There's okay. also a 48 hours on it. But, you know, 48 hours, which I love, they don't give a lot of detail. I mean, you have like, I don't know, probably 30 minutes of like actual 48 hours within the commercials.
Yeah.
And they don't say the controversial stuff, like the whole gay relationship that they were having.
Yeah.
Because I think it does paint this different picture of Alex, which I'm sure his parents were like not aware of.
Yeah.
So I did educate myself a little bit about what to call Ezra. And I think that she's bi-gender. She would only know for sure what she wanted to be identified with. But I also tried to see what it was, what's the name of like a gay male that is with a trans bi-gendered person. I can't find any wording for that, but they do have on the LGBTQ website, like a list of terms and names that you can use. I just wanted to, you know, be edumacated. But I think that this topic is really hard to discuss because it paints the victim sometimes in a light that parents or families or people that are biased don't get. And
well, you don't want people to be judging the behavior if the, but it, that's all like, it's just sad that that is the sad truth that people may judge that. But it, that really is all irrelevant. It really just comes down to like what happened.
I know. And in the trial, I mean, there was a decent amount of that discussion. They, and I think it was used in both ways. It was used in her defense, like this is who he was and he wasn't who everybody thought he was. And he liked BDSM and liked to do some kinky shit, which we all know because on our Patreon episode with Amy, on the swingers episode, that some people are into that and it's okay.
Yeah, if it's consensual, then that doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
No.
So they were using it as a tactic in both the defense and the prosecution, because then the prosecution wants to paint this girl as, you know, she's sleeping with multiple people, she's a young little hussy that's having an abortion, no. you know, like all these triggering things.
Yeah. And that's irrelevant too. Like this is all just a distraction from what went down that night. Doesn't really even so much as led to what happened. It's just what happened that night should be what's on the table.
So there was a friend of Alex's that came forward and she said that Alex, you know, told her that he was in a relationship with like a somebody that identified as a male. She did say that they talked about different kind of sex that they did. But Alex was a very nice and kind guy from what everybody has said about him. They say that he was willing to help anybody that he wanted to help, that anybody that came into the coffee shop, he was always there for everybody. And I believe that to be true. I believe that he was a super nice guy with a very deep brain. And then at the test, at the trial, guess who testifies?
Who?
Ezra herself.
Oh, she did.
She did. And she was really calm and very collected. I would say well rehearsed. And she goes over her story of the whole entire night. She remembers every detail now, which I find to be not truthful because I don't think whether you're getting attacked or you're attacking, whatever way that is, I don't think you would remember detail to detail. Like, I just don't think that's possible.
Well, you know, those like situations where you're supposed to remember detail to detail, like car accidents and stuff. I mean, something I'm sure we've all been in one at some point. Like, I have a hard time remembering every single thing that happened. Like when I'm like have been in a car accident and had to repeat it to the insurance agent. you know?
Because you have this adrenaline that just blocks
right.
it. I mean, it's just,
right.
it really is. So she says that she does say at one point, like, I was so terrified, but it's almost like she forgot to say it. And then she said it, but that's her story is that he attacked her. She took away the knife and then stabs him and runs away. She says that she left him, I think, on the ground, but somehow he got in the car. I don't really know how that would happen. She also says that Alex would call her his boy all the time. Prosecution, on the other hand, thought that basically Ezra wanted Jason back, and the only way that she could do it was to get rid of Alex. So she gets rid of Alex and gets back Jason, which...
What's her build like? The part that is confusing to me is, like, how did she overpower? Yeah.
Okay, so she's a small girl, and he is also a small guy.
Okay.
From the pictures, I believe. Like, Jason's a bigger built, kind of muscular guy, and Alex is a smaller kind of, I would say, like, on the more nerdy side. And Jason seems like a man's man.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, the jury believes the prosecution, and they sentenced her to 50 years to life in jail. When Ezra was at her trial, I want to just say she was wearing like a pink blazer. Her hair is kind of feathered, kind of like a 80s look. She's wearing glasses. She looks very feminine. At her sentencing trial, her appearance 100% changed to look like a boy.
Yeah, because I'm kind of questioning us. I mean, in case anyone is going to point it out, because we started this off by calling her a she and have continued. But if you're saying that's not how she identified, then...
At the trial and during her conversations with the police, she says that she identifies as a girl.
So we're good.
She said that up until her sentencing hearing, which was just February of last year. She didn't come out and say, like, identify as a boy now, but her appearance would say so. I just use she for everything because that is what she actually said in her last communication to the police, that she identifies as a woman, and she didn't like the fact that Alex was identifying her as a boy because that's not how she felt about herself. So at the sentencing trial, she does speak and she apologizes and she does give emotion at this part. She cries. And she says she's really sorry about what she did to his parents. And I mean, because she didn't show any emotion at the trial. Okay. And then Dawn, who found her, gets up and speaks on her behalf also and says that she has drawn him pictures and written a letter to him. And he said it's like the most beautiful writing that he's ever seen. And they gave her 50 years. They didn't give her life. They gave her 50 years to life. So I don't know. I mean, she's only 20 plus 50, 70 years old. Maybe she'll get out. Ezra has a Instagram page where she sells her artwork. I guess somebody outside of prison is doing it for her, I assume.
Wow.
And so you could see her artwork. She also has some writings on there. And I will tell you, like, her writings are pretty deep and they get to you. The only thing is like, are they lies? Because even her childhood friends have said that she is not an honest person and she's lied throughout her life. And I've known people like that. I've known people that are pathological liars that just fucking lie.
Yeah. I don't know if lies is
that
the
sounds
right
just like
word.
This person.
Yes. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Makes up things.
Yeah. I think that maybe she just has, it's got to be like some kind of personality disorder. I mean, because we've seen it personally.
It's called a pathological liar.
Okay. Well, but they're like in a different reality. Like, I think they convince themselves of their own lies.
Dude, this particular person told us that she was broken into in her house and the police came. I mean, they have these elaborate stories. Like, I had this whole conversation, then was scared, went to the police to make sure it was true because I didn't want to be like living in the house. And the story was not true.
Not true. And, you know, I think key is too many details.
It's the details. It's the details because you wouldn't remember those little details. The story with a lot of detail is suspect.
Yes.
I will tell you that she still claims innocence and there are people that do believe her and she is trying to have another trial.
Appeal. Okay.
Yeah. To see. I don't know what could be done. What else? I don't know what she could do to get another trial. But this is where it got me because I went on her like a rabbit hole and started reading all of the things that she's writing. And then I start like questioning myself, like, is this true? Is this not true? Is she a criminal? Could she have been attacked by him? I don't know. Did she really go out to the middle of nowhere to kill him? Could it have been not premeditated? I don't know.
I don't think it matters if it was or it wasn't. I mean, if she did it.
It would just matter for like the amount of time that she gets. But
yeah,
like first degree, you know. But yeah, she took his life, which is really unfortunate. And she does say when she was speaking, she does say that she loved him. Also in her writing, she says like people criticize her all the time about the trial because it's like you need to have this much emotion, but not this much emotion. And you need to smile this much, but not that much. And you need to look this way or not look that way or, you know, and I think that's 100% true.
Yeah.
I think there is a lot to say on that. And she also says that, you know, they try to paint her as this wicked woman that had these sexual partners and they tried to implant all these things in the brains of the jury to trigger them to make it seem like she's a bad human being. And I also agree with that. So
yeah,
it's just
I do.
Hard because we don't know exactly what happened. And the only person that does know is her.
Yeah.
And she has not been truthful in her life. And so it's like just like the boy who cried wolf or whatever, like you say it so many times that nobody's going to believe you when it really happens.
Gut instinct is these people that like testify at their own trials, they all have this very similar personality where they have to talk about it because they're like narcissistic. They can't help themselves. They can't not get the attention, whether or not it's going to do them harm or not. And someone who is innocent on trial, I mean, sometimes they testify because they're like, what do I got to lose? You know, but most of the time they don't. And it's because it's like we said, that would be so nerve-wracking. You don't remember every effing detail, you know, like you want to get up there and tell the truth, but
I know. And then it's like when you're asked and you're like, I don't know, you sound like an idiot. So that's why they're like, hey, no, you're not going to testify. But yeah, I mean,
but if you go up there knowing you're going to lie, you're like, this is my lie. I know what it is because I just made it up and I'm just going to stick to that.
Yeah.
You're not actually depending on your recall.
Well, they did catch her in some lies that she said. I mean, of course, like the arm thing. It's like you did it in the very beginning when you said that he drew that boy on you while you're driving and he's in the driver's seat. And then it's like, why is he driving your car? Like, I think you were driving, Ezra. I think you drove you guys over there. I don't think that he was ever driving. Also, like, that was the first red flag. It's like, why did you do that. And then, yeah, I do think she kind of staged it. I think she cut herself up and
yeah.
I don't know why she wouldn't have put some shoes on to walk over to Dawn's house, right? Because that was
some flippy flops.
I think that was real painful.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's the crazy story of Ezra McCandless.
Okay. Good one.
And Alex Long Woodworth. One. So rest in peace. I know, Alex. So I'm going to just cut it there and we'll do shout outs next week.
Okay.
And you guys, patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. Gretchen's doing a crime this week. And follow us on Instagram and Facebook, our Housewives group. Search Housewives of True Crime group. We also have a keto group. A lot of you guys find your way there first. But if you're not dieting, you probably don't want to be on that group because we just give you like stuff to eat. But if you are, join us there too. Anything else, Gretchen Poo?
I think that's about it.
Okay, well, clink, clank.
Clink, clank.